How are we doing, everybody? Welcome back to the Sean Atwood channel, The Daily Show. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and buenos dias. I hope you're all having a fantastic Tuesday. A little bit of a different show today. I wanted to delve into the missing 411 phenomenon. I think a lot of you enjoy the cryptids and the paranormal stuff, but this is a case that can appeal to people who are a bit skeptical, who want to look at things from a rational point of view. Tony, listen, mate, listen, I'm doing my best, Tony, okay? I'm doing my best, okay? Listen, man, I try to get here on time. I try and get everything done on time. Sometimes I'm a minute late. Forgive me, all right? Forgive me. And the reason for that, let me just moan about something here. I'm not moaning, right? But just for people who are watching in the side chat who get a bit sick of seeing my face and who maybe get a bit sick of me turning, you know, things being a bit late or whatever, there is now 9 shows per week minimum that I have to produce just for myself. Easy, big guy. Don't worry. It's all good. 9 shows that I got to produce for myself and over and above some of the other programs that or shows that I produce as well. So sometimes it can be, and then there's the usual workload too. So sometimes you've just got to forgive Ron sometimes, but I am trying. My big thing for the end of 2024 is to try and not continue to talk over people, but we'll see how we get on. But also, lighting. I think the lighting's looking pretty good today. So we're good with that. We've got a bit of a backdrop altar. Got my furs over here now. We've got the light here. And I found the remote control for the other light, which is great. Oh, yeah. Yeah, listen. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. You see, this is the thing. Ron enjoys his job because he can sit and talk and talk and talk. But I just want to say, I love all of this. No one's complained. No one's complained. I'm just busting Tony's chops and then just explaining to people that get a bit moany sometimes why they need to shut up and let me get on with my job. But yeah, we also have the wonderful Mr. Shane from the side chat, the mods, the legend himself. He is currently circling Earth from within a very expensive one-man spaceship cruise. There's some peeps and all kinds of stuff going on in the background. It's certainly got nothing to do with healthcare and everything to do with baller billionaire lifestyles. But Shane, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, just absolutely wonderful. At about 7:45 this morning, waiting for doctors to come visit me and tell me whether I have to have surgery or not. But other than that, doing wonderful.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing, right? You got, you stop the dribble, Ellen. Listen,
spicy folks this morning.
I will, if anyone wants to meet me in the car park outside, man, woman, I don't care. Okay. Okay. We can go square goes all day. All right. But today we're going to do a little bit of the lighting's gone crazy.
There goes your bulb.
Oh no. What is happening? The lighting is gone. I had this perfect. Yeah, there we go. So, oh God. Oh no, it's bad. It's real bad. Right, hang on.
It looks shiny, buddy.
Yeah. All right. That'll maybe do. Yeah, there we go. So we're going to delve into a little bit of an overview, first of all, of what the 411 is. And it was something that back in the, I wouldn't even say the podcast era. This was still when the majority of podcasts, or what we knew as podcasts back then, were people on stage having their live speeches filmed and them going on the internet. And there's a couple of occasions where we're going to look at that. But luckily for you wonderful people, okay, because Ron is late, okay, talks drivel, and also has the reading capabilities of a child. So is that you saying morning, everyone?
Yeah, I don't know why it came up that way, but
yeah, that's fine. That's fine. As long as I know it's you on the side chat, it's fine. Do what you like. We have an article that is going to be read with along with us, right? And I think it's important for us to get a little overview and learn a little bit about what sort of drew the founder of this movement to all of this. But before we do that, please like and share. For the love of God, if you want this daily show to continue, you're going to have to like and share. We're going to have to push this out. We're going to experiment with some different times and everything. And it may get to the point where I start this show at 10 a.m., finish it at 11:30, and then an hour later, we're just back to a royal daily show. So yeah, you might want to have a word with yourselves. So
set your alarms.
Yeah, I want to go through this, right? And it's going to give us a little bit of an overview, and then it's going to take us through the founder, David Pallades. Pallades, it's going to be butchering of his name throughout all of this. And as we go through this, we're then going to talk about a cluster of cases. And once we get through this article, we're going to have a look at some maps, and we're going to start laying down what I think is the most common theory and what I imagine will be your guys' theories. Yes, okay, Sharon, got you. Disgusting, foul-mouthed Scotsman. Yes.
Hey, good luck with that.
Yeah. Get it all out now. All right, we're good. So we're going to just play through this. It's like a 10-minute long little bit of chatting, and then we're going to break and we're going to discuss the points as we go along. Shane's going to give his input. Obviously, I'm in Scotland. Shane is in the US. And Shane, just what's your background with no, growing up the woods, camping, hunting? Is there any of that in your sort of?
You know, yeah, I did all that as a kid. I mean, I up until I had my accident, I used to shoot quite a bit and had the collection of firearms, camping, all that, Boy Scouts when I was young. I loved it, and then I got into driving and football. Then I kind of pushed it all into history. So, but yeah, I loved it, man.
So really, your experience then with hunting then will have been a young age, but there will always be, I imagine, someone, your memories will include maybe an adult or someone teaching you, or you growing up with, you know, an elder taking you through. So did they ever lay down any lore or weird things that went on? Was there ever any talk of, you know, the woods are alive, be careful, any of that kind of stuff?
Well, where I grew up from, we had almost 200 acres of woodland that we used to hunt on, and we were all, it was passed through the family, which also incorporated having a graveyard in that actual forest that grew up around it. So, of course, the older teens would take us out on Halloween and things like that and give us the ghost stories that were made up probably the same day, but kind of stuck with you the rest of your life. And every little noise you heard wasn't a deer, it wasn't a raccoon or anything you wanted to shoot. It ended up being made up little monsters in the woods that would chase you around as a kid and everything. So
yeah,
thank you.
So there was the keeping the kids in line fear tactics. And
did
you feel like possibly that generation were still under this veil of you just don't talk about it? Because there was a period in time where I think a lot of people didn't want to be the local nut job by talking about these things.
Yeah, I mean, but some of them came from the local nut jobs, and they were usually the best stories because they had more background to them.
Yeah,
you know, okay. So the crazier the people, the crazier the story. But yeah, it really depended, because you had some of the stories did have some truth. People would disappear, you know, things like that, and you never did find them, and that kind of gave a little more depth and emphasis on the made-up stories, because you didn't know which ones were real, which ones weren't.
Here's another thing I want to ask. When, sadly, someone goes out into the woods, whether it's a hunter or a hiker, and nature wins, okay, when a bear or a cougar or falling down a ravine, something, there always seems to be an evidence trail. So, for example, you could be pulled up, you could die, be pulled apart by animals, but there's going to be some clothing or a shoe or your weapon left. So when you've heard of people who've gone missing in the woods and there's no mystery behind it, you know, you yourself must be able to confirm that there is usually remnants, right?
Yes and no. It really depends on how what's the word I'm looking for here? Sugar. I can't think right this second. Yeah, how meticulous the person is who takes you. I mean, if they don't want you to be found, they'll be that meticulous.
I'm not talking about murder. I'm not talking about murder. I'm just talking about,
out and disappearing. Exactly.
There tends to be something, and animal attacks tend to be quite
messy.
Well, it's not so much messy. They're kind of leave a footprint, they leave a thumbprint that is quite evidence of struggles, attacks, all of this. Obviously, the bigger the animal, the bigger the carnage, all of this. And
right.
In all of these cases, that we're about to listen to and we're about to learn about. There is an algorithm at play here, okay? And we're going to learn about the algorithm because we have to rule out certain missing cases, and we're going to delve into this now. Think of this style live stream that you're seeing just now as almost like a mini live documentary. We're going to be listening to things, we're going to be watching things, we're going to be discussing them afterwards. And it's kind of like how I would put a little documentary together, taking snippets from here, snippets from there, talking about them, mashing it all together, and doing a job like that from, you know, without leaving the house effectively. So that's all right. What we're going to do today. I hope you all enjoy this. And well, listen, it's not about solving it, right? It's not even about solving it. It's about how fascinating, very sad. Also, I need to pretext this whole thing, okay? If you're watching this back, all right, and there's parts of it missing, all of the links to everything we're going to be watching will be in the description after the live. So I'm going to say a title like, we are now watching this, and it might not be in the final video if it gets hit with copyright, but there will be links to everything in the description. That's why you want to watch these lives. At any point, if you guys get hit with a screen that says, we have to take copyright material, please let me know in the side chat and I can stop what I'm playing and all the rest of it. We're testing some unknown grounds here. And we're going to go through all of this because this is not about making a mockery of people who've gone missing. It's not about whittling down how sad all of this is. Okay. It's about trying to really put what we know about science, physics, reality, the known world to one side for a minute and ask ourselves some deep questions. And we're going to dive into them just shortly. But let us start with, this is the article. It's Historic Mysteries, Missing 411, Disappearance in the Wilderness, 2019. And it is a nice little overview. And I'm going to save you all from my first grade reading capabilities. And let's dive into this together. Let me know if you can all hear it. We're up to over 400 watching on all platforms. Please make sure you like and subscribe. Make sure you come to YouTube and hit that subscribe button as well. It really helps everybody, this channel, myself, everybody, to know I'm doing a good job. So let's begin our deep dive mini documentary live daily show into Missing 411. Let's go. Okay, throughout this entire thing, the AI is going to refer to this as Missing 411. Okay, we just have to look past it. All right. It's going to drive most of you nuts, but we just have to look past it. Okay. So here we go.
Are we supposed to be able to hear this?
Say that again, Shane.
Are we supposed to be able to hear this?
Yeah, can you guys not hear any of this?
I can't hear it, but I'm in here with you, so I wasn't sure.
Can any of you hear this? I hear nothing. Okay, right. Everybody bear with me one second, please.
Mac.
Can you hear it now? Tell me if you can hear this now.
11. Actually has its origins in an inconspicuous...
You can hear it now. Right, try now.
Missing 411, disappearances in the wilderness. Nature yes. Can be a cruel mistress.
Okay, so you guys can hear it now. So I need to have this on screen as this is playing, right? We solved the mystery of that. That was on purpose, guys. Okay?
Testing.
You have to like and you can only hear this if you like and share. Okay? So if there's no sound, it's because you haven't liked and shared and subscribed. Hit like right now.
Missing 411,
and you can
disappearances in the wilderness. Nature can be a cruel mistress. Beneath its beauty lies an underbelly of primal fear for some of those who dare venture too deep. Since the beginning of humankind, we have endeavored to explore the realms of our wilderness, but in the process, many have failed to return. In recent history, a bizarre phenomenon has been growing. This is the perplexing mystery of the many hundreds of thousands of missing 411 cases. What are 411 cases? Missing 411 cases are a colloquial classification that documents missing person cases that fit a number of criteria. The disappearance occurred in a national park, rural area, or a large reserve of public land. Exceptionally odd circumstances surround the disappearance. Mental illness or voluntary disappearance does not appear to be the cause. The term 411 actually has its origins in an inconspicuous computer term that refers to data that cannot be found or a corrupted link. It is certainly an apt metaphor for the state of these individuals who have vanished. Missing 411 Investigations by David Paul Ides.
Ron, you have no voice.
I'm nailing this today.
Wonderful, man. But the hair looks good.
Yeah, the hair looks great. That's all that matters. Okay, so we fixed the sound. Everything's fine. All right, everyone, relax. Okay. Big shout out to Dan. I think she's watching in the living room right now. Hi, Dan. I'm nailing this. So, David Palaudis. He was really the guy that spearheaded all of this, going around conventions and talking. Without actually saying the word Bigfoot, without actually pointing fingers at cryptids, he just brought forward the evidence and said, hey, everyone, have a look at this and see where your brain goes. And everyone's brain sort of went to the same place. So we're going to dive into a little bit of the history now, and we'll see what comes next.
Missing people in the USA or across the world are an unfortunate but regular occurrence. In fact, with as many as 90,000 people declared legally missing in America at any given time, it is hard to ignore the issue. However, stories of missing 411 victims do not take place only in rural areas. David Paul Ides, an investigator who spent 20 years of his life as a police officer, has uncovered a number of puzzling trends. The vast majority of these strange disappearances occurred on clearly marked and popular hiking trails. Additionally, victims are often proficient outdoorsmen and women, hikers, and hunters who know their backwoods well. Paul Ides has dedicated nearly a decade of his life to the research of 411 cases and has written a series of books on the subject. However, he has never suggested a cause. Although there are both national and even international examples of far older cases, David Paul Ides' efforts to synthesize records apply to recent history. His work focuses on an analysis of case files acquired through the Freedom of Information Act. Subsequently, with his methodical compilation of data, he identifies trends. One of the most startling of these is the mystery of 411 disappearance hotspots. Whether it's the nature of the terrain or something else, there seem to be concentrations of disappearances in certain areas. There are a number of these cluster spots across the globe. However, one of the most prevalent and recurring seems to be the Yosemite National Park in California. Yosemite cluster.
Okay, so we talk about clusters and maps, all right? So what I'm going to show you guys just now is our first map. And this is all of the cave systems, America's underground cave systems. And you can see that they're ledgered here. And it's limestone, which is the green ones, okay? Then we've got lava caves in yellow. We've got two other ones. One's gimpsum caves and other kinds of caves. But the majority, as you can see, are limestone caves. And just keep this image in your mind just now, because it's so important. We're gonna come back to this, but we're gonna look at the Yosemite cluster of cases. Okay, he's gonna go through these cases, and I think it's really important that we set the stage for just how mysterious a lot of these cases are. So let's have a listen.
Cluster of cases. Stacy Harris, 1981. Stacy was a 14-year-old girl on a horse riding trip with her father and several other friends in Yosemite National Park. What was likely a picturesque and enjoyable ride over the stunning wilderness of Yosemite became a nightmare for the Harris family. After arriving at the Sunrise High Sierra Camp, Stacy cleaned up and decided to take a walk. The young girl asked both her father and another member of the party to join her, but was denied their company. She made it clear that her walk was only down to a nearby lake in order to take some photographs and stretch her legs. The lake was nearby within earshot of the site, and the area was not known for any instances of animal predation. Thus, her father likely thought little of his daughter's actions. However, once she embarked on her short walk, Stacy Harris was never seen again. After a comprehensive and thorough search lasting 9 days with over 100 people, sniffer dogs, and helicopters, nothing more than the lens cap of her camera was ever found. Mystery Man, 1968.
You think it should be read out? You really, oh, George, I tell you what, I'll do Mystery Man. Okay, we'll get to the end of this one, then I'll read it out. Okay.
In early August, a man's body turned up in a crevasse located within Tenure Peak. This is a site not far from Sunrise High Sierra Camp and the lake where Stacy Aris disappeared. This man has never been identified, but analysis of the body was never able to determine the cause of death. Incredibly, obvious signs such as blunt force trauma or multiple broken bones that might evidence a fall to his death in the gorge were not present. Jeff Estes, 1976.
All right. Okay. So here we go. A little more than a mile away from the gorge where the body of the mystery man above turned up, 25-year-old Jeff Epstein disappeared. Even after official search efforts, as well as the efforts of the family and friends, not a shred was ever found. So again, missing without a trace. Timothy Barnes, 1988. In mid-July, slightly northwest of the site where the mystery man's body was discovered, 20 years earlier, Timothy Barnes vanished. Similar to the Jeff Est case, even after meticulous search efforts, not a shred of evidence surfaced. These four instances exemplify the strange anomaly within 411 cases and our particular hotspots. Here we see within Shane, can you put your mic off me? A few square miles, a startling concentration of lost people. This suggests a geographic correlation. The bureaucracy of missing persons. In this instance, Stary arrest case, David Pallades also encountered another perplexing obstacle. Upon filing a Freedom of Information request to access the original Aris case file, he was denied and contacted directly by the special agent from the National Park. This man told Pallades under no certain terms would they release the file. However, he provided no explanation for what was, by all accounts, a perfectly normal request. So this is where things start getting a little bit sniff-ish. Fishy, okay? You know, he puts in a simple Freedom of Information request, is denied and contacted by a special agent. I mean, that's just a way of saying federal, I'm sure. Maybe not. As a retired law enforcement officer, Pallades takes interest in the way the government agencies document missing 411 cases. Unfortunately, there's no centralized database for missing people. That's mad. And many parks do not even document disappearances specifically in their own parks. Instead, it goes into the National Missing Persons Registry, at least in the US. This protocol has its drawbacks because the nature of disappearances in the wilderness tend to be quite different from those in the urban centers, where cars and other forms of transportation mean that abductees can be hundreds of miles away within a few hours. National parks, however, do not allow for this, especially when factoring in potential challenges with the victim, such as age, experience in the outdoors, and lack of equipment, clothing, or supplies for extended duration in the elements. Also, the geography of these areas is mountains or is just difficult terrain. Okay, so difficulty finding missing 411 victims. America's got some pretty incredible terrain. We all kind of know that. If you've ever seen the forest moon of Endor, you'll know just how mad, right? Just how mad some of wild America is. Those redwoods are just... Dude, Jane, we will get to that toddler. Do not worry. So, Ronald Kirk, difficulty finding missing 411 victims. A runner and former Marine... knew the Red Rock Canyon Colonial Basin area well when he went missing in late January. He had a history of spending time outdoors, especially in this area. And here's the thing. Like, the Army's freaking tough enough. Like, the sort of regular military services, they're all tough enough, okay? But when you start getting to Marine levels and all these specialist areas, the start of our... an edge more badass than the regular person. So you need to factor that in. He had a history of spending time outdoors, especially in the area. Thus, when he let friends know where he was going, no one was concerned. However, this was unfortunately to prove the last time anyone saw him again. Search and rescue teams found Kirk. Hang on a second. Yeah, Ronald Kirk. Search rescue teams found Kirk months later after an intensive search in a spot surrounded by established trails. He was less than 200 meters from a popular route called the Turtlehead Peak. Authorities justify the delay in discovery of his remains as an optical anomaly. All right. They explained that the body blended in with the pigment of the soil and rock formations. Okay. What? What they're saying, right, is this guy went out in full camouflage. He was ghillie suited up and just blended in with everything. What makes this recent case especially, and keep in mind though, he was found months later in an area that had been extensively searched, okay, from a popular trail, 200 meters from a popular trail. What makes this recent case especially strange is the way researchers covered the area multiple times before they found the body. The lack of definitive cause of death and the general absence of communication with the family from law enforcement was also strange. David Pilates also noticed the recurring motif of the bodies turning up in areas that researchers had already combed thoroughly near frequent spots. Almost like if somebody wanted to return you, okay, like for example, you know, if you stole an Amazon package and then felt really bad, so you sort of leave it at the end of the path. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that mentality of wanting to put something back for someone to find it, if that makes sense. Please don't go and steal any Amazon packages. That was a terrible analogy. Theorists also propose that a serial killer theories believable and bizarre. Bigfoot and other cryptids from the Appalachian. Now listen, the Appalachian Trail. Okay, you want to talk about mystical? You want to talk about places that are steeped in stuff that us modern humans have been convinced never existed? Okay. And yes, Ron's going to start talking about magic again. Ron's going to start talking about things that we don't understand. And I want you to keep in mind, we're invaders, most of us, right? Most of us, people that look like me, tend to be invaders from the historical front, right? And when we start listening to indigenous folk, okay, people who have been born for generations in one place, the stories are different. It's a very different interpretation of the same legend, and we'll get into that too. Okay. Bigfoot and other cryptids from the Appalachian mythology have come into the equation a number of times. Although many of these missing 411 cases demonstrate strange instances, the link to any mountain monsters is mere folk devil hearsay. Interestingly, UFO sightings often correlate with these hotspots, sometimes even around the same time that someone has gone missing. Theorists also propose that a serial killer or a cult sect that hunts humans may be on the prowl. Now, all of this is relevant, okay? All of this. Some speculate that they may be part of some dark satanic ritual. Fringe theorists have also viewed the institutional apathy with suspicion. They propose that the missing 411 disappearances could be the result of a shady government program. Again, very possible too, with more people becoming aware of some government's irresponsible activities, cost of citizens, such as MKUltra. These ideas can quickly embed themselves in the minds of people desperate for answers. Okay. Is there a smoke screen? Regardless of these being fringe ideas, oh God, hang on, that's Discord going crazy. Oh, actually, I tell you what, before we go any further, if anyone would like to come and join my Discord, I'm going to post a link just now. Anyone who's on my mod team who's posting Discord links, it's just this link I'm posting now that you want to be using. So just copy and paste the whole thing. Come and join us, because at the end of this show, we're going to have a voice chat where you guys can come and join in and give us your views. If you've got any, you know, oh, my granddaddy told me a story about this or whatever, please come and join us. If you're watching this back and we get to the end of the video and none of that's there, it's because someone done something that they weren't meant to, and I've had to cut the whole section out. Okay. But come and join the Discord. It's good fun. All right. Regardless of these things being fringe ideas, what is substantial? After a number of instances, members of the National Park Service are denied reasonable requests for their case files. Pallades also explores instances of other government agencies arriving at these sites and conducting their own investigation. In one example, both the FBI and National Guard engaged in a search for a missing child in 2013. A forest ranger that witnessed the exchange described it as two entirely different operations that seemed to have their own agendas. There was active efforts to distance themselves from each other, the FBI, National Guard, and even the parents of the missing kid. So we had two government agencies doing independent investigations that shouldn't have been there in the first place. Right? Missing trends. The suspicious nature... Ah, nice one, Eunice. The suspicious nature of the issue in combination with the trends that David Pallades documents are beyond mystery. Pallades noted that many of these instances occur near bodies of water, around granite borders. Additionally, there are strangely small distances of separation between the victims. This was the case with Stacey Arrays and the case of Ronald Kirk. Both were also adept outdoor people. In Stacey Arrays' case, she went on a short short distance from the party she was riding with. She was also near a body of water, and the area around the cabin was littered with large granite boulders. Now, large granite boulders is another interesting one. Bodies of water is another one. All right, we're almost at the bonus list. Answers and closure. This story is only the tip of the iceberg and serves... Okay, let's determine. All right, so we're not going to read their closure because we're going to make our own closure. All right? So what we've learned is there is this phenomenon taking place in America, okay? And we've had a look at our first map. We're going to look at our second map now, all right? So here is the American cave system. Here is all of the missing reports, all the missing people in David Pallades' missing 411 algorithm. Okay? And I'm going to show you one more map. This is Bigfoot sightings across America. So we have Bigfoot sightings, 411 missing people, cave systems in America.
I just sent you a link to a pretty wild story about a missing family that took 4 years to find. Truck full of money, child missing, and everything.
You have to give me more than you've sent me. Where did you send me it?
WhatsApp.
All right, nice one. We'll get to that. We'll get to that, mate. We've got a lot to get through, but I appreciate you sending it over, right? So, listen, Shane, you can see what we're looking at here, right?
Right.
So we're looking at the cave systems, right? The cave, let's take out Bigfoot. Let's not talk about Bigfoot, all right? Let's look at people falling through freaking holes into caves underground. Let's go with that theory, okay? There was big magic holes that as soon as someone falls into them, they seal up again, right? Do you not think that this caves, the cave systems and the missing people have a very close similarity? Yeah.
You lay one of those over top of the other, I mean, they're a pretty consistent pattern match. I mean, it's not a whole lot of difference there.
And when we then put in Bigfoot sightings.
Wow, yeah.
I feel like this bit here and this all around here, you need to forgive me, everybody. These pictures are on different pages. So we see similarities here and here. So if we were looking at data, and this wasn't missing people, and we look at, okay, Bigfoot sightings, all right? And then we go to underground cave systems here and here. Arguably, I would stop looking in the woods for Bigfoot and start wondering if he's a cave dweller. Do you see what I mean?
Well, but, isn't everything to the east, isn't that the Appalachian Mountains?
It very much could be. Now, here's an interesting thing. What about if these cave systems go really, really deep and there's stuff in them that we don't know about that can have created a network, okay? And underground in America is another whole other thing. We're not necessarily talking the realm of hollow earth here, just to be clear, but we're talking about a subterranean level to the Americas that we're going to talk about in a little while. So think about this as not man-made, but think about this as very, very old within these cave systems. Now, Shane, I'm going to lay you another map here.
Okay.
So this is the missing persons map and the cave system maps over the top of each other.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, there's enough, like I said, there's enough layover that's, you know, a lot of coincidence there too, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I say when you were talking about cave systems. I mean, with caves, I mean, you still have mountainous terrain as well, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Hang on a second. Who was that? Livy. So are they not searching caves? Well, they don't go missing in the caves, Livy. Here's the thing. So it's so beyond weird. We're talking about Europe. You're going to hear stories, Livy, of people in a straight line on a hike that turn a corner and the last person in that queue vanishes. Just, do you see what I'm saying? So it's not a case of searching the caves because no one's gone missing in a cave. But there's the data for where they may be being taken. And I tell you something else, Livy, here's another interesting one. What about, please forgive how stupid these distances are going to be. What if this point here that I'm pointing to and this point here above ground are miles and miles of mountain range that would take days to get across? But what if the cave system underneath here from point A to point B is a flat, straight tunnel that would take hours instead of days to get through? What if the tunnels are being used by this phenomenon as almost a highway to get to places? And we also have to factor in as well that, in fact, no, we won't get into that just now. We're looking at this data. Cave systems, missing people, Bigfoot sightings. Okay, we can all now see some correlations of data, right? And it's painting a little picture. And I think we can all sort of see where it's going. Now, 1 second. So David Pilates went from doing all of his shows and tours.
Hey, I've got to go. Physical therapies here. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, brother. No problem. Thanks for being here, mate.